Here begins the third and final part of my Pencast conversation with Satya Prasad Sahu, Senior Trade Facilitation Specialist at the World Bank, known to his many friends in the customs world as SP.
Trade facilitation is obviously about efficiency, but another key buzzword that I've encountered again and again, and that one hears in the trade, is resilience. Could you say a few words about the importance of resilience in ensuring that trade is facilitated in an optimal manner?
Absolutely. So while trade facilitation is all about efficiency, faster clearance, fewer controls, or smarter controls, resilience is equally crucial, you know. I mean, recent events that have caused so many upheavals globally have shown us that the whole supply chain of the world is very interconnected. And the interconnected supply chain is vulnerable to disruptions, mega events that disrupt global trade and turn the world upside down, as it were. I can give the example of the Ukraine invasion, which is still ongoing as we speak, and the unexpected incidents, such as, you know, the blockage of the Suez Canal, and also the COVID-19 pandemic and the after effects of the pandemic. These disruptive events have a significant knock-on effect on the downstream and upstream industries. And therefore, many governments and supply chain planners had to rethink the strategies around it. And therefore, this buzzword on resilience has come up. Everybody is now talking about not just just-in-time models, which are, you know, efficiency-based with very little slack time, but just-in-case strategies, which are the ability to prioritize and adapt and redirect supply chains whenever disruption occurs. It is not just achieved by giving more slack time to each processes and compromising on just-in-time efficiencies, but also advanced planning on to take care of various disruption scenarios. From a trade facilitation and trade integration perspective, we are looking at solutions like the port community systems and custom systems playing a niche and strategic role in this whole process. These automated systems actually provide real-time and advanced warning to all of the players, and therefore can be a part of the overall strategy of the solution that the logistics planners, supply chain experts, and enterprises can play. These systems can be used by these enterprises and planners to provide advanced visibility and predictability. Now, I actually remember that back in the early 2000s, when the World Customs Organization was working on the WCO Safe Framework of Standards, the question of resilience was also at the forefront, because the 9/11 events, the events of the 9/11, they actually brought out that, you know, that resilience needs to be considered, and therefore the WCO Safe Framework of Standards really brought all the minds around the table to work on what's called the integrated supply chain management model. The conception of the model was, very expansive at that time, but it had emphasized that every link in the supply chain is responsible for maintaining the integrity and security of the supply chain, and in securely managing all of the data handoffs and the physical handoffs of goods, etc. So adhering to those principles effectively and applying them properly plays a very significant role in enhancing the resilience of the supply chains, making them better equipped to handle future disruptions. At the time when the integrated supply chain management guidelines were created, many of the tools that we are now talking about, such as, you know, data-driven, AI, IoT, all of those things were either not in place or were in their infancy. And a lot of innovation happened around it. And we did discuss the EU-based innovation projects. The EU innovation projects really absorbed the use of these technologies into the supply chain, integrated supply chain management concept, to mainstream some of the ideas that were put in by experts in the WCO Safe Framework Standards.
Understood. I mean, thinking out loud for a moment, it seems like a project such as PenCP, which aims to build a network to improve customs technology and cooperation, could aid in furthering your goals and those of the World Bank global team that you work on. Thinking out loud, how might PenCP and other similar projects further your work?
Thank you, Tom, for bringing this up. Communication and outreach are crucial parts of our work. It's not just about making changes, but ensuring that these changes are communicated effectively. Communication, you know, is such an important part of change management. Communication allows us to better manage the transition and to promote the adoption of the technologies, the new technologies and procedures that we introduce in our projects and technical interventions. So, they provide, you know, communication and outreach actually help provide platforms to share and discuss the changes that were introduced in customer procedures and technologies, and it makes the adaptation process easier. Podcasts such as this and other ways of reaching out to the audience does help in spreading the word and ensuring that adaptation to new processes and procedures is faster. A network like yours can spread the word on trade facilitation, improve customs technology and cooperation, and it fits very, very well with our approach. It allows us to interact with a range of audiences and exchange ideas, and also to learn from experts in other fields. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, you know, our goal is to reach trade facilitation and modernization to audiences worldwide.
So basically, not only could PenCP and other similar projects help insiders to learn to work better together, but they could explain what your work is to the outside world, basically.
Correct.
Can national customs officials, I mean, we've mentioned some important resources and vital important resources and services that the World Bank offers. How can national customs officials obtain access to support from the World Bank? And what would be the preferred official channel to request information or support?
Of course, national customs officials can indeed access support from the World Bank and its services. To request information or support, the preferred official channel would be through the World Bank's country office in the respective countries. Mm-hmm. The country office actually works as a liaison between the country's government and the World Bank. So to ensure that our assistance is tailored to the specific needs of the countries, we do take a strategic approach. We are always ready to provide the support that is needed, be it through sharing of expertise or by providing financial assistance or through partnerships to help the countries in their customs operations and facilitation of trade.
Well, we mentioned the importance of communication, of getting the word out internally and to the outside world. Can you say a word about the World Bank's communications efforts, forthcoming podcasts and blogs and so forth, and about any publications on the subject of your work that could interest PenCP participants and listeners to this podcast?
Absolutely. I mean, communication is a very critical component in our work at the World Bank. And we are committed to sharing insights and experiences and lessons learned through various platforms to foster an understanding and the sharing of knowledge. We regularly produce a number of publications, including research papers, reports, policy briefs. We have a public web page in which there's a dedicated section on trade, and some of the topics focus on trade facilitation and customs. quite a bit of things that I talk about are all included there in those public pages. And these publications do provide topical insights on some of the complex challenges we face and the opportunities that arise. In addition to these, we maintain blogs. It's part of the routine of the World Bank professionals to produce blogs once in a while as part of our outreach to share views and observations on the topics the experts are working on. And these blogs often delve into the real practical issues and provide a very accessible way to engage with our work. It includes, quotations from the field, the developments, pictures, and put all of the World Bank work in context. We've also ventured into podcasts, which offer an engaging medium to discuss various issues and share stories and to hear from a diversity of voices around the world, including academics, professionals, experts, government officials, and so forth. We invite all interested parties, including the participants of PenCP audiences of this podcast, to explore our resources on our public page, and they provide valuable insights that can help inform the work that you're doing and to stimulate the thinking of innovators who participate in PenCP.
Yeah, it does sound like a very dynamic communications environment where you're coming up with new approaches, new audiences, new techniques for getting the word out on a regular basis. And I plan to write a blog post which captures kind of a sister blog post to this PenCast, which will provide links to a number of the resources that we've talked about in the course of our conversation. So that should help our listeners to locate some of the things you're talking about. This has been a really excellent and wide-ranging conversation, and I'd like to end with a kind of a big picture question. Drawing on your background in customs and innovation at the World Bank, the WCO, and elsewhere, what do you perceive as the key challenges and opportunities for the next generation of customs officers, especially given the currently extremely volatile international environment?
That's a big one, Tom, but let me make an attempt. Indeed, the customs landscape evolves continuously, and a new generation of customs officers will be tasked with navigating an increasingly complex and dynamic global environment. And there are some key challenges and opportunities that they'll face. Firstly, the integration and implementation of emerging technologies will be a significant task. The head of customs will be presented with multiple opportunities of exciting new technologies, including data analytics, artificial intelligence, blockchain, and then a lot of buzzwords that seek to implement the ideal digital future to modernize customs procedures, improve efficiencies and protect revenue and international trade resilience. So all of these things are crucial, but it's important to be aware that the same technologies are also being used by people on the wrong side, which is that those who use those technologies illicitly to evade customs controls, and the technologies can therefore be double-edged swords, which means that there's a lot of running to be done by the customs officials of tomorrow to play catch up. And many global trade initiatives are, resulting in skewed development of trade, and trade needs to be more inclusive. And that's going to be a major challenge. And there are two things that come to mind from a World Bank perspective. Firstly, to make trade more inclusive, we need to bring traders of all sizes to participate in trade, and that includes small and medium enterprises. They need to come on board and participate in the global trade ecosystem. The second dimension is the gender dimension, which is very important for the World Bank We also need to encourage women-owned and women-led businesses to participate in international trade. And we do a lot of research on identifying the particular barriers that women face in accessing trade facilities and participate in international trade effectively. So these types of businesses often lack the resources to navigate the complex trade procedures, and it's for customs officers to find ways to support and include them. Global awareness is growing, and the buzzword today is climate change. And it's the center of discussions these days, everywhere, wherever we go. The role of customs in promoting environmental sustainability will also become more and more prominent. And it's very important for customs to look at the climate aspects of customs operations and to look closely for opportunities to contribute to green initiatives. One way to look at it is that efficient and optimized logistics processes and border procedures will definitely have greener and favorable outcomes. There's no doubt about that. That's one aspect that people need to bear in mind in customs. Another challenge that customs faces is the shift from tangible goods to digital trade, that is trade in intangible goods. And it presents both challenges and opportunities. With technology advancing and 3D printing becoming more and more popular, there's the possibility of transfer of value to the intangible realm, resulting in a change in the nature of trade. So if the bulk of the value moves into the intangible realm, then the value of physical goods diminishes and therefore reduces the revenue opportunities for the government. And that can become an issue for customs officers to deal with. And customs officers need to stay ahead of these trends and to adapt their procedures and controls based on the regulations that change accordingly. Also, with digital technologies being more and more relied upon, everything you deal with becomes digital. Cybersecurity becomes very, very important, and the threat of cybersecurity risks should reach very high in the priority of the customs officers. And that they need to be well-versed in identifying and mitigating those threats. So all of these challenges will appear very daunting, but they also represent, you know, strong opportunities for innovation, for growth, and for development. By embracing new technologies, the next generation of customs officers can make a significant impact on the future of global trade.
This is an inspiring conclusion to a very enriching and highly informative conversation. Thank you so much, S.P. Sahu, Senior Trade Facilitation Specialist at the World Bank, for sharing your insights on your important and impactful work and your observations on the future of customs innovation.
Thank you, Tom. It was a pleasure to participate in this discussion.
Thanks so much.
This concludes my three-part PenCast conversation with S.P. Sahu, Senior Trade Facilitation Specialist at the World Bank. Tune in soon for another conversation with customs innovators, leaders, and trendsetters. Thank you.